You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good morning, man.
Man, how you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm pretty good. It's March Madness, you know, and we've got our little bourbon bracket going, and it feels kind of mad this morning. Things are crazy.
You know, I honestly am mad this morning.
Why are you mad?
Like, I am not in a good mood. This has just been a really, really rough morning. So,
yeah.
I'm going to pull back the curtain big time.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so today, when we recorded, and this is, you know, not news to our longtime listeners, especially those who have tuned into the live morning show.
But, right.
The show goes out on Wednesday, but when we record, it's Tuesday morning.
Right, right.
This is the Tuesday morning after St. Patrick's Day.
Right. St. Patrick's Day was yesterday.
Yeah. And we'll talk a little bit about St. Patrick's Day in a minute here, because it's a big deal where we come from.
Right.
But anyway, so last night, you know, one way or the other, this past St. Patrick's Day didn't get to do much. I was planning on going fishing with my brother.
Yeah.
Like, this was going to be something that we were going to do. But wouldn't you know it, winter just will not go away.
It won't.
And it was freezing cold last night. It's freezing cold this morning. And I have just been in this, like, upset, angry mood because, guys, I realize, you know, we've got a lot of Michigan listeners and a lot of guys up north. Cold weather is, you know, y'all would probably see what we're dealing with down here and laugh and think that's your summer.
I know. Be out here in, like, board shorts and, yeah, tank tops.
Exactly. But you got to understand, we are not physically equipped over generations of adaptation.
Our skin is not thick enough.
Yeah.
Natural selection has not given us what we need to deal with.
Yeah, exactly. And so this has just been brutal. And so I just, when I got out and felt the cold air this morning when I let Gibbs out, I was like, oh, yeah. No.
If we have any listeners in Pennsylvania, if you could just do us a favor, go to Punxsutawney, grab that groundhog, take it out back, and shoot it.
Yeah, just take it out.
We want to take it out. And if there's any way I can contribute to it, I mean, ammunition, I'll send you anything you need to get the job done. Just please let me know.
Yeah. But yeah, no, man, this is it's been rough. But as you said,
yeah,
we are in the midst of madness, our malt madness bourbon bracket.
Yeah,
as it has evolved in its name over time.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we, you know, it's been going strong. We are about to close out, or we're about to begin the Final Four after today.
Yeah.
The moment Johnny Walker and George Dickel Rye are competing for Tuesday, and Wednesday will be Toolmore Dew and Balvenie.
Yeah. And I'm disappointed that Balvenie came over the top on Talisker, but you know, I'm not going to fault people for having simpler palates.
Yeah, I got to tell you, man, I was kind of upset the Buffalo Trace got knocked out so early. But in all fairness, I think part of that is because I made the Facebook voting a little complicated on the first day.
It was a wee bit.
Yeah,
but it worked out. You know, it's fine.
We're good now. I think I've visually communicated it a little bit better. So hopefully, up until the final round, it's more smooth sailing.
Yeah, yeah.
You want it smooth when you're talking about
you do
bourbon and scotch, whiskey.
You do.
So whiskey being what it is. Yeah, we just mentioned it. So St. Patrick's Day has come and gone.
Yeah, and for those of y'all who've never been to Jackson, you don't really think of you know, Mississippi when you think of St. Patrick's Day. It's kind of this funny thing, but all these other places around the states kind of have their celebratory time of year. Here in central Mississippi, there are a lot of Scots-Irish people, and so I guess that's kind of our excuse for having a big St. Patty's Day blowout. But we make a big deal of it. I mean, last time I checked, I think our St. Patty's Day parade was like the third largest in America. It's definitely top five.
Yeah, no, and it is absolutely huge. We haven't gotten the opportunity.
It's out of control.
Yeah, we haven't gotten the opportunity to go out there in a couple of years just with my daughter being born and everything.
Yeah.
But it really is. It's like Mardi Gras.
Yeah, basically that's it. I mean, Jackson's close to New Orleans. We're kind of close to the Mardi Gras kind of sphere of America anyway, and you know, we don't participate in that as much, but there's just something about St. Patty's Day. It comes right afterwards. It's when the daffodils are coming up. People can put on some short sleeves for the first time.
And, well, typically.
Well, typically. If it weren't for that groundhog. And yeah, you know, it's funny. It's just it's kind of our little springtime festival.
You know, you mentioned that it comes right after Mardi Gras. It's funny because we're big into holidays, my wife and I.
Yeah.
And so we'll decorate up the house big and everything. And what we'll do is just when it comes time to put away the Mardi Gras, we put away all the beads except for the green and golden.
Uh-huh.
And just leave
you
those out.
Save those out. Yeah, right. Because those are going to get used in the short future.
Yeah, big time. But you know, you called to have me over a couple of times, and unfortunately, I just couldn't make it happen.
Yeah,
so I want to publicly apologize.
Oh man,
for that.
It's okay. The shaming will commence directly after this episode.
No, but my sister came into town, and we went. We went shopping for clothes. That was my exciting St. Patrick's Day.
That's great. As long as it involves some brown liquor somewhere along the way, it's plenty Irish.
Eventually. Although it was Maker's Mark, so I don't know how.
I don't think that counts.
Yeah, I don't think it counts either.
It's all right.
Sorry.
Well, happy St. Patty's Day to folks. I mean, I know it's a great time of year for any of those who, like us, are of Irish descent partially or want to be.
Yeah. Either of Irish descent or of Irish descent in mind only.
That's right.
If only for a day. Well, we wanted to talk a little bit today about collecting pipes and you know, specifically kind of that collector's mentality, not necessarily even gathering pipes for the purpose of smoking them, which seems almost ridiculous to many of us, but it is something that happens. And part of what kind of stemmed from or the origin for wanting to discuss this comes from a new pipe that you guys got into the shop like earlier this last past week.
That's right. It was actually early last week. Man, I've never seen anything like actually two pipes that came in the shop. And I'll have to mention both of those. Yeah. I'll just tell y'all straight out, the first one that came in was this gigantic Meerschaum pipe.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it in person. Of course, these are the type of pipes you get online. You're flipping through eBay if you're a, you know, pipe kind of aficionado or whatever, and just kind of looking at interesting things that are out there. And you'll see them occasionally, these huge, huge Meerschaum pipes.
And I mean, when you say huge, I mean, this is like, it's bigger than your fist.
No, like, it's
to hold it with two hands.
It is. It's like a small instrument. As a matter of fact, when the guy brought it in, you know, it just, like most typical high-end Meerschaums, it was in its own case that was made perfectly for it. And I thought it was like a small French horn.
Yeah, no, it did, man.
I mean, it was amazing, yeah.
The case itself looks like an instrument case.
It was like a small instrument, yeah. You could certainly use it to club someone over the head. And it was amazing. You know, so this Meerschaum pipe, it's a giant unsmoked sultan's head. Complete with turban and jewel and exquisite beard and all this stuff. It's just, I've never seen anything like it in person. It's one of these that you'll get online and you'll see them marked up for like, you know, $2,000, $2,500. I mean, this kind of stuff, and just, you know, oogle at it. But, you know, never think, you're like, oh, I'm never going to get one of those. And then one comes in your shop. It was amazing. It's unsmoked. The bowl is about 6 inches deep. I really think with the right tobacco, you could probably put an entire ounce in that bowl.
Yeah, man.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it blew me away because I had never seen anything like that. And I remember thinking like, wow, I would pay money to smoke out of that thing.
Right.
And your first reaction, yours and Kim's, was like, oh, you're not going to smoke out.
Oh, no, you're not going to smoke that.
I was like, wait, why would a pipe exist if not to be smoked from? But I mean, there are a lot of collectors out there. Who do, especially in the Meerschaum category, because Meerschaum changes so much
over
the course of smoking it, but they do really just kind of collect them because they, you know, I guess like anything else, there's something about the art form or the craft that they really enjoy, even though they don't necessarily enjoy smoking, or they enjoy smoking, but they don't necessarily want to smoke out of these particular pipes.
That's right. And, you know, you got to think, pipe making, as we all know in this world, it's an art form. So, I mean, you've got these exquisite hand-carved things that, you know, they're on their own, even apart from the quality of the briar and how they draw and how cool they smoke. You know, oftentimes they're just pieces of art. And we've got a lot of folks that come through that will collect them and don't smoke. You don't see it all the time, but folks that do come in just to you know, keep the briars. The most interesting one that came in our shop, this was probably about 10 months ago, but he came in and he's collecting pipes. He bought three really high-end pipes in our store one day. He bought a Colin Frum hand-carved pipe and a couple of Lane-era Sheratons, all of which were unsmoked. And he's just collecting them, you know, just a really high-end pipes. And I was like, well, you smoke them? What are you doing with them? And he said, no, I'm saving them. And I'm 69. And when I turn 80 years old, I'm going to start pipe smoking. And so I'm building my collection. I'm going to have the best pipes in the world. And when I turn 80, it's on.
All right.
It's really interesting. So, you just never know what people's motives are for that.
But. Well, the thing is, to some extent, I really do understand where this is coming from. And I'm not a big collector.
Yeah.
I don't really have that. I know there's like the collector mindset. And,
right.
Sometimes that's confused with like the hoarding mindset, but there is a very distinct difference there.
Yeah.
There's
some hoarders that think they're collectors.
Right, exactly. But there is very much a difference there. But I've got a small pipe collection.
Yeah.
And my whole motive there is to have kind of a different, a unique smoking experience for each individual pipe.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily smoking very frequently out of each individual one, but if I'm going to, like a pipe club event, or if I'm going to the shop, or if I'm, going to be sitting out on the porch, or, whatever the situation is, I want to be able to kind of look at my spread and pick out, okay, this is how I feel right now.
Like exactly.
This matches where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
And so that's, that is kind of where I am from a collection standpoint. Now how many pipes do you actually own?
I've got right at, I think 19 now. Yeah, I know it's right under 20. It's 18 or 19.
Yeah, so mine is dwarfed by comparison to yours.
It's funny. I mean, we've got folks that come in, like Father Pat that came in and sold us his estate pipes and, had 175 of them. And it's just crazy. But,
dude,
I mean, it's out of control. But, yeah, my collection fluctuates. It's one of those things that, a lot of times I'll just lose a connection with a pipe. I won't, I bought it at some point. I thought it was pretty, or I thought maybe it just had an interesting shape. And, as I smoked it, I never really connected with it. It never really became special to me. And eventually I just kind of lost interest in it, or, hadn't picked it up in a long time and didn't really want to. So,
right.
I'll give pipes like that away occasionally, or, sell them or whatever. I typically just, my friends that I'll try to convert, into pipe smokers, a lot of times I'll just gift those pipes to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, there's just a variety of, motives behind it all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, the thing is, I used to, I hate to even use the word, but I did used to collect comic books.
Yeah.
And, but even with that, I was kind of in that same mindset where, I would read them and I would have kind of a stack, and the stories that really spoke to me that I really liked and wanted to pass down,
yeah,
to my kids, I would keep, and everything else I just donated.
Right.
I gave to charity, right, or to Red Cross or wherever, which I guess is a charity. but yeah, so, that's kind of, I don't know, that's where my mindset is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to own or seek out a $2,000 plus pipe that you would never smoke out of.
Yeah.
Cause when you actually picked that thing up in the store, you had, those rubber gloves on.
That's right.
Or what do you call those?
Yeah. Well, they were just latex gloves.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, that's the thing that's amazing about these deals is, no one in their right mind, at least I wouldn't smoke that pipe. I mean, anytime you touch a pipe like that, if you don't touch it with a protected hand,
what I thought about?
You're going to leave a mark on
it. When you pulled it out, especially like just wearing the gloves and just the size of it.
Yeah.
It made me think of like a Fabergé egg.
It's like a museum curator.
Kind of, dude. Like,
right.
I remember, decades ago when the palaces of Versailles came through town. And the big thing was the Fabergé egg.
That's right.
And
I
was a kid at the time, but I think we had like a field trip or something like that.
Right.
And we went to go see the Fabergé egg. And, a lot of us were like, okay, it's an Easter egg.
It's an egg.
But there was something just really cool about the craftsmanship that even at a young age, I really appreciated.
Right.
And, everybody was kind of gathering around this item with all this awe.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I got that same sense when you pulled out this massive head. and I could just tell that you were like, okay, don't drop it.
Right.
Don't drop
exactly.
it.
Exactly. The entire time I was that way. And someone was like, can I touch it? No, you can't. It's incredible.
That was me. I asked if I could touch it.
Swat your hand back. Yeah.
Oh,
well, the other pipe that I have to mention that came in the shop was this, it was this incredible, both these pipes were Meerschaum, this incredible elephant Meerschaum pipe. And so you're looking at this pipe, it's kind of hard to tell what it is. When you're holding it the way you would hold a pipe, but when you turn the bowl on the top and point the stem down, the stem makes a perfect, perfect trunk.
Yeah.
And so you've got this elephant head that the bottom of the bowl curves into the elephant's face and nose where the snout begins, and then it goes straight down into this amber lucite trunk, and man, that thing is hot.
Yeah. Now, when you say that it is kind of hard to understand or hard to really see it when you hold it as you do a pipe,
right?
The tusks, I mean, Kim actually even mentioned, and we're talking about Kim, the owner of the shop.
Right.
When she first saw it, she thought it was like a demon.
Right.
You know, some sort of weird looking
it's
demon.
It's a little hard thing. To tell. Yeah.
Yeah. But you're exactly right. You turn it upside down and there it is. Really,
it's meant to be, I would really prefer to display that pipe hanging like that, where yeah. you basically got the bowl, you know, you'd be hanging it from the bowl. But I mean, I've never seen anything like both of those pieces come in the shop. They're amazing.
You mentioned displaying it. One of the challenges I think that many collectors of pipes have is that because they are so different and because they are so unique and different sizes and stems, bowls, otherwise, it can be difficult to figure out exactly how to display all of these
yeah.
pieces of
oh,
art.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about before, and I think at some point in the near future, we should do an episode focused on displaying pipes.
Yeah.
And just kind of not necessarily even best practices, because I know that's very subjective as mm-hmm. far as how you want to display it. But I would open it up to our listeners. You know, if you're a collector, let us, you know, take some pictures of your collection and send them in. We'd love to take a look at it. And we'd be really interested to see how you display your pipes. If you're, you know, a hardcore collector with an entire wall full or,
that's right.
you know, $2,000 plus
right.
pipes, that's awesome. Please take a picture and send them in.
Yeah.
Or if you're like me and you've got a quote unquote collection of 6 to 8 pipes, you know, we'd love to see how you're, you know, displaying those. So
yeah. And I love to see, you know, when folks make like little homemade shadow boxes and things like that. That's yeah. really, really fascinating. Yeah, please send in those ideas because we'd love to share those around.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pipe question of the week.
So I got a great pipe question of the week this week from listener Jared. He's a new listener who's just recently discovered the show. He actually sent us a message on Facebook, and we'll have more of that full message in the listener feedback. But he yeah. asked a great question that, given last week's episode focusing yeah. so much on beverages to enjoy,
that's right.
I thought was appropriate.
That's right.
He writes, "Do you have any non-alcoholic beverages to recommend while smoking? I drink orange juice, which works somehow, but I need a bit of variety. Thank you for the show." And again, that's Jared from Facebook.
Oh, man, this is a great question. And obviously, we need to spend some time on some non-alcoholic beverages because it's not all the time after 5 o'clock.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so there is a great tea that I have found for drinking while I smoke my pipe. And a lot of times, you know, you'll just... It's even one of those beverages that helps with tongue bite. It's really interesting, but it's puer tea.
What's it called?
Puer.
And puer?
I don't know if I'm saying that right, but you spell it P-U-E-R or P-U-E-R-H. There's some different spellings of it, but it's a Chinese tea. And it's typically the way I've seen it and the way I've bought it, you buy it loose. So it's like a loose tea. And it's one of these deals that you'll actually have to make your own tea bag or actually get one of those little
right.
tea balls
yeah.
to put it in, which you can get at, you know, Walmart or the grocery store or whatever. But you put the tea inside this, you know, container or whatever to let it diffuse into the hot water. And this puer tea, when it's done steeping, it doesn't take long to steep. I mean, it's like a minute and a half and you've got your tea. Because it's so potent, but it's a very, very earthy taste. It almost tastes like soil. It's really, really interesting. And as gross as that might sound to you, it's delicious. It's really, but it has some type of basic quality. It's just really Really smooth, and my experience is it helps with tongue bite. It's really? A great tea. Yeah.
Would you say that it's better with like an English blend or aromatic?
I've done both. Yeah, I've done both with it. But yeah, it's just an excellent tea. Yeah, huh. It's an excellent tea. It's real. Like I said, it's really earthy and soily. And so it's just it. And it's again one of those teas. Unless you can find it in a bag somewhere, that you're probably gonna have to buy loose, and then use your own little tea bag or tea strainer. Tea ball kind of thing,
yeah.
But it's a great tea. We keep it around the shop. Occasionally, people will drink some, and it's delicious.
Well, very cool. Yeah, we'll put out we'll put out a link to it on our Facebook page too.
Yeah.
So that's a great question. I'm sure there are a lot of people who, after enjoying all of our wonderful conversation last week about various whiskeys that you can enjoy with your pipe, I know that some either don't partake or do want to partake in some other beverage prior to 5 o'clock.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So, excellent question, Jared. Thank you.
Quick fire with the squire.
All right, quick fire with the squire. Knock them out fast. This section is all about random questions that come in. Pick one or the other, such as red or blue, pancakes or waffles. That sort of thing. We answer them for you. Chance for you guys to get to know us a little bit more. This week, there is a theme, as there has been almost every single week for the last several weeks.
Right.
Theme here is villains, I suppose. Darth Vader or Khan?
Darth Vader.
Yeah, Darth Vader. Dracula or Frankenstein?
I'm going to go with Dracula because it's based on a historical figure.
I like Frankenstein. I think there's a lot of like cool, weird ways that you can kind of twist that story.
There probably is.
Yeah. Plus, I think Dracula's a little played out with the vampire thing.
Yeah, I mean, the vampires are overdone now for sure, but yeah, I'll have to go with Dracula.
Bowser or Dr. Eggman Robotnik?
Man, this one was difficult for me, Bo. I have to go with Bowser because of the centralness to my childhood, but Dr. Eggman... it has a very special place as well. I mean, it stayed up many a night battling him.
Yeah, yeah. Now he was a tough. Like that's the thing. I guess when it comes to like taking down a villain,
yeah,
Robotnik or Eggman, depending on which game you played,
right?
He was tough, man.
No, he was difficult. It was a little less straightforward than battling Bowser.
Bowser, you just kind of had to jump over him and get the axe or the key or whatever that thing was.
That's right.
That held the bridge up.
That's right.
I'm gonna go with Bowser too, just because I think when it comes to
he's just so iconic.
Yeah, I mean, like he's a dragon turtle spiky thing.
Right.
You know,
right.
How could you go wrong?
And one of my dear friend and one of our listeners, Briar, his last name is Bowser.
Oh, really?
By the way, his name is Briar and he smokes a pipe. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, could you be a more appropriate pipe smoker? Anyway.
We love Briar.
We love Briar.
And then the last one comes from the Holy Grail, the Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
The Black Knight or the Man-Eating Bunny?
I think for comedic value, I have to go with Man-Eating Bunny.
I mean, for comedic value, they're both pretty funny.
They're both gold.
But you're not wrong. The Man-Eating Bunny. And it's not just comedic value. The Man-Eating Bunny actually has successfully killed somebody. Black Knight just kind of sat there and got his limbs chopped off.
Poor dude.
All right. Well, these were excellent. If you'd like to send in some quick fire questions to us, you can do so. The email address, csr@podastery.com.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
This week we got some good stuff. I mentioned that Jared, who sent in the question that came from a larger email, but
yeah.
I wanted to share that email on the show. Do you want to read that for us?
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, this one is from Jared. He says on Facebook, "I recently took a trip to see my family in Louisiana from Delaware. I drove long drive. On the way back, I thought I would listen to a podcast to pass the time. That's when I found y'all's. Funny, informative, and helps me feel a part of the community. I started smoking a pipe after years of trying to smoke cigars with my dad. My uncle had a junky one, but we went to the cigar shop and picked up some tobacco. I was 19 at the time, 24 now, and am still trying to smoke. LOL. I get it, brother. Also, I have smoked while playing World of Warcraft.
Yeah!
Delaware doesn't have much of anything, let alone a nice lounge or savvy arg shops around me. I think with savvy, he's saying Savinelli. I'm not positive, though, but you have to have a good Savinelli shop around you. Can you suggest anything that could help? I like a mentor and or a community, Jared. Well, Jared, you have found your community.
That's
brother.
Right.
And we're glad you found us, man. Thanks for contributing so quickly off the bat. Yeah, brother. I think obviously online there's some great resources, and we hope we can be a part of that for you. You know, the biggest thing is just finding some tobaccos that you connect with. For me, I love the you know, private blended tobaccos that you're, you know, a local tobacconist somewhere in the country has kind of crafted and developed, because it's got its own story and it's interesting, and you know, it's one of a kind too. It's not something you can get anywhere else. But there's also some great tin tobaccos out there, and so man, whether it's from our shop or someone else's, you know, try some house blends. I would typically, you know, as you're probably used to, you know, probably start with some aromatic type of blends and then branch out into different areas. Man, it's so many great ways to experiment with that and to get engaged with the pipe community online, because yeah. there's you've got carvers and forums, a great place to go to as well. And where several of our Country Squire blends are featured is on tobaccoreviews.com. Tobaccoreviews.com, you can actually read characteristics of tons and tons of different blends, and it's really helpful. So anyway, check it out, man. Keep listening to our show. Keep pitching in, and you know, a lot of even people on our show have connected with other people that listen to the show, and it's really interesting. You don't have to be right here in the studio with us to hang out and get it done.
So. And if you're listening out there and you're in Delaware and you're aware of a you know, a pipe club or interested in starting one, reach out to us and maybe we can help you guys connect with one.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
On Twitter, we got Catching Up on Podcast with Squire Radio. Perfect way to relax with your favorite leaf. Sending you guys the warmest regards from the UK, and that's from Pie Man Crust, man. At Pie Man Crust on Twitter.
Loving that, from the UK. I wonder what part of the UK. I'd be interested to know, Pie Man Crust. From iTunes, this is Pastor DDY, maybe Pastor Daddy. Awesome. I'm new to pipe smoking community and was looking for resources and came across this podcast. I had tried others out, but this is the one I listen to only now. The guys are great. I appreciate their love for tobacco and their love for Christ. They have given me great suggestions on blends and audiobooks. Listening to them is a joy. Well, thanks so much, brother. That's great. We appreciate you pitching in.
Yeah, guys, these are awesome. We love getting these this feedback, especially on iTunes. It's one of the best ways you guys can help support the show and also get your feedback to us. Even if you don't necessarily listen to the show on iTunes, you can still go onto iTunes, create an account, write a review. We know that many of you have done so just for that purpose. And I can't tell you, that just means so much to us. So we thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can reach us in other ways as well. We mentioned the email, csr@podastery.com. That's podastery.com. On Twitter, we're at Squire Radio. And I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole. And you can reach us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
And then, of course, our Facebook page, facebook.com/CountrySquireRadio. That's both the Facebook page and the Squire Radio Twitter account are the places to look for our bourbon bracket. So if you want to participate, we've only got a couple more days left until we get to the grand finale. What do you call the last one?
I don't know.
the Squire Select Showdown, whatever we'll call it. But regardless, so participate there through social. And yeah, man, JD.
I had a great time.
Yes, sir.
And thanks, Bo.
Absolutely, man. Let's go have a day.
See you soon.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.